the horn.
This is hour number two, second hour of Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Wade, Jeff Howe with you. This song is in no way meant to list any recreational activities endorsed or enjoyed by either Jeff Howe or myself. Eric Clapton is playing tonight at the Irwin Center. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, legend.
You're going, right?
I'm going. Linda and I are going to go see the great Eric Clapton tonight. He had a lot more songs other than this, and we'll hear some other ones. But
How's it going to work with Longhorn Weekly? You just can tell Sark, like, dude, I got to go.
No. Longhorn Weekly will be done before I get over to the show.
Okay.
It'll be done.
I don't know if you're going to give Sark, like, the wrap it up sign.
No. It's logged into it for a certain time slot. That won't happen. What will happen this weekend, college football, as we mentioned, all three of the areas. Collegiate football programs are in action. Longhorns, of course, host the Rice Owls on Saturday night, and that will be at 7 o'clock, and you'll hear our pregame coverage beginning at 3 o'clock on the Horn. Texas State is at home against Incarnate Word, so Jeff's alma mater in action. And also in action, 7 o'clock Saturday night, the Southwestern University Pirates take on the number one team in the nation in Division III. That would be Mary Hardin-Baylor, and they do that in Georgetown. That's a 7 o'clock kick, and we're pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Pirates, Joe Austin, who joins us on the Vaquero's Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Joe, I appreciate the time. How are you today?
I'm doing great, and of course, Clapton's a Hall of Famer, but so are you. So thanks for the opportunity to talk to you.
That's kind of you to say. First things first, before we even get to talk about the game this week, let me get your thoughts on the win, getting the first win of the season, the road win over Belhaven, and it looks like you feel really good about that quarterback with a highly familiar name to those of us who followed him in his high school days.
He has a highly familiar name. That's right, Landry Gilpin from down in Mission, Texas. A few years ago now, he was Mr. Texas Football. Had a phenomenal game, three touchdowns, over 100 yards rushing, really keyed our offense. We played really poor on offense. Our first week, we flew out to Thousand Oaks, California, and offensively, we laid an egg out playing California Lutheran. But we bounced back great. Landry had a great game. J.J. Slack, our strong safety, was a special teams monster. In fact, D3Football.com put him on their national team of the week. He recovered a fumbled punt. He blocked an extra point. He blocked a punt and returned it for a touchdown. Not a bad afternoon on special teams for J.J. Slack out of Liberty, Texas.
Wow. That's quite impressive as well. What did you have to do an awful lot? There's been a lot of talk this week, Joe, in town about how coaches go back to getting their kids harnessed up and ready to go for the next one. Texas coming off the disappointing loss at Arkansas. Jake Spavital talked about what he had to do after they lost at home to Baylor to get these guys ready to go down to Miami and beat Florida International in overtime. What was the tack that you and your staff did with your guys coming off the loss to Cal Lutheran before you had to continue your road trip and go to Jackson, Mississippi?
We focus on constant improvement, and we focus on process. I know it's so boring. That's not what you want to hear coaches say. But we just kept working at it. Our guys are actually really excited right now. When we went on that plane trip out to California, that was our return to normalcy. Our COVID stuff was so difficult. Our protocols were so difficult. We're out of the weight room for a year and a half. I mean, it was such a challenge. We're not having trouble motivating our guys right now. And the COVID things they went through made them super resilient. So we shook that loss off. We got refocused. And we had a great week of practice last week. There's no doubt about that. They were ready to go.
Yeah, Coach, that you kind of led into my question. That was going to be it in terms of when did you feel like and your kids feel like things are getting back to normal? Because, like you said, for the last 18 months, it's are you going to play? When are you playing spring schedule? And can you work out and protocols and all that? Does it finally feel like everybody's back into a routine and, hey, Monday through Sunday, everybody's got a pretty good handle on how things are going to go?
We're definitely getting there. We still have some restrictions, some things we're working through, but it's definitely manageable. Our president, Dr. Laura Scandera Trombley, has made our campus one of the safest places to be in Texas. Our athletic director, Glenn Schwab, has done a great job. Our vice president for residence life, Jamie Woody, and our president says this all the time. Our campus is one of the safest places to be. Now, the other side of that coin is it makes it hard to play football with all the things we have to do and precautions we have to take. So that's what made it so hard. But now we are getting back to normal. I mean, for us to get back to where we can do plane travel and do normal bus travel, it's just such a blessing. And hopefully our football program will continue to get back to where we were, because we were pretty darn good a few years ago. And there's no doubt that the pandemic set us back. I mean, you can't make up for not lifting weights for 18 months. But we've got a lot of work to do, and hopefully we can continue to make strides.
Yeah, that's where I was going next, Joe. How weird was it to go to the spring schedule and coming off the fall and then having to deal with that, and then now finally, you know, being able to get back to a fall schedule?
It was really weird. As I said, we weren't, you know, I keep saying we weren't able to lift weights because it's such a big deal. But there were times where, to be really cautious, we were practicing in groups of 10. That's really hard for a sport with 11 guys on the field at once. So we had not very much practice time to go play that spring schedule. We weren't in great condition. We were a much better football team. We did spring football after our mini season. During that spring practice, we finally started getting shape. We finally started to get back in the weight room a little bit. We were much better in April than we were when we were playing games in February and March, just because we finally had enough time to get back into a routine and start to train.
Coach, I know we'll get to the game coming up this weekend specifically here in a minute, but overall, for folks that aren't familiar with the league you're in, top to bottom, how would you describe it to someone who's unfamiliar with that league, just what a grind it is week in and week out?
Yeah, it's the SEC of Division III. And to illustrate that, including Southwestern and Mary Harden Baylor and a lot of others, 6 to 10 teams in our league have been nationally ranked over the last 3 years. We've had times where we've had 4 or 5 teams in the national rankings all at once. Texas football is incredible. From Pop Warner to Division I, you know, all the Lone Star Conference teams win national championships, and the ASC teams win national championships. Our league is really, really elite. So when people come watch Division III football in the American Southwest Conference for the first time, they're wowed. They didn't know that small college football would be as athletic as right. It is, as fast as it is. I mean, there are some really, really good football teams in Texas playing in our conference.
And Joe, if I'm not mistaken, aren't you making an athletic move into the SIAA next year?
In 2023, we're going to go to the SAA, the Southern Athletic Association. And that's a good move for us because they're all like-minded academic institutions. You know, we're one of the top 100 schools in the nation, as will all the other schools we're playing against. They will be as well. What I think our players will like is we're going to travel more. We're going to be going to Georgia. We're going to be going to Tennessee and Arkansas and Kentucky. And it'll be a cool experience. You know, the Big 12 spread out. And I'm sure their players enjoy getting to do some of the travel they get to do, and our players will get to do the same other than just being in Texas every week.
True. No doubt about that. Joe Austin, head coach of Southwestern University, with us right now here on Light the Tower. Well, to your point about the difficulty of the American Southwest Conference, you've got Harden-Simmons, who's the number 6 team in the nation right now, and you're going to deal with them in Abilene on October 23rd. And, oh, by the way, you just happen to be playing the number 1 team in the nation, Mary Harden Baylor, at home this Saturday night on what is described as Hometown Hero Day. Explain that a little bit.
We've extended invitations for all of our local heroes, which would include fire, police, EMS, first responders, educators. It's a pretty broad brush. Folks that have had a hard time of it, particularly during the pandemic, but just keep us safe on a daily basis. So I know Williamson County Emergency Services is coming. Be a big group from Round Rock Police Department. I'm afraid to leave folks out, but I know there's several local areas people are coming. Georgetown School District, a bunch of teachers and administrators are coming out. We just want to give them a night of football, a chance to maybe relax a little bit and just enjoy a college football Saturday night.
Okay, and then there's the issue of UMHB. So tell everybody about the challenge of dealing with the Crusaders Saturday night.
Well, the number one ranking is certainly earned. They've been national champions before, perennial playoff team. You know, I can't remember last time they lost a regular season game or a conference game. It happens about once every 3 or 4 years. So they're very polished. They're very good. And so it's going to be a big challenge. To try to pull an upset, you've got to be on top of your game. You have to win field position. You have to take care of the football. You've got to do all the things that are pretty simple for you, even the average fan knows. And so you got to play a really clean game for our guys to have a chance to pull the upset.
Well, Joe, we wish you all the best. And I know we'll visit again during the course of the season, but I'm glad you had a few minutes to visit with us coming off those back-to-back road games and coming off the win. Best of luck to you on Saturday night against UMHB.
Thank you. We covered 3,889 miles to go play our first two games.
See, we need one of those maps where we show your the arc of the airplane going on like they do on national television, you know? That would work out.
You could have done that.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, that's Joe Austin, head coach at Southwestern Division III. They started off in Thousand Oaks, California, Cal Lutheran, and lost that game.
To Tom Herman's alma mater, Dave Aranda.
That's right. That's where he used to cover Cowboys training camp.
Oh, yeah.
That was the time where I told you I was watching a this was 1988. It would have been the last year.
Tom Landry's
was
last
the coach.
Camp, yep.
And I just finished watching a morning practice with the Cowboys. They were doing two-a-days. And just finished watching a morning practice, and then everybody walks to the dining hall down the road. To the cadet. So you go to the dining hall, walking in there for lunch, and the gym had its doors open. And I just happened to walk in there, and there was John Wooden doing a camp.
Yeah.
So in the span of 10 minutes, I saw Tom Landry and John Wooden right down there at the same time.
Great day.
Yeah, it was. It was a great day there. But so they lost that game at Cal Lutheran, came back, then had to travel again, like you said, over 3,000 miles worth of travel, because then they went to Jackson, Mississippi, and beat Belhaven Saturday night. And for those of us who cover the high school game very well, we're very familiar with Landry Gilpin from Mission, who was the Mr. Texas Football, was named by Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine a couple years back.
He didn't stop in the gym and ask Coach Wooden if he needed some help.
Didn't.
Try to offer some pointers.
Didn't do that. He would have said
your hoops expertise.
He would have said, goodness gracious sakes alive, Craig. No. What his players all said was the closest he ever came to uttering a profanity was goodness gracious sakes alive when he would get really exercised. Kind of like Snoop, you know. Snoop is like that.
I've said a bad word before.
Before, not in front of your parents, you didn't.
No,
nope.
They wouldn't be. By the way, so here's Mary Harden Baylor is playing. Is playing Southwestern Saturday night. You know who plays for Mary Harden Baylor? The starting right guard is none other than Matt Sanders, son of Drew Sanders, the head coach of Vandegrift, who will be with us tomorrow for radio, and. He's got a wide receiver, Caleb, who's on their JV team as well. So he's got two sons in the UMHB program. That's pretty
awesome.
Impressive.
It's a heck of a program.
It is. And a daunting task, obviously, for Southwestern. But even so, you like what Joe Austin's doing there. And I do agree with him. When they go into the SAA, that's, as he said, more like-minded institutions in terms of that real high academic structure. It does mean more in travel. That's the first thing I noticed about the other teams in that league. But
Trinity is the only other school in Texas in that league, and they're football only, right?
Yeah. So anyway, it'll be that'll be where they're going in 2023. Might be the same year Texas makes
a lot of changes around here in 2023. Craig.
May happen that way. All right. Coming up next, we'll have another this hour's edition of the Longhorn Notebook when we continue with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. We are live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Locations across Central Texas.
Light the Tower.
This is Eric Clapton that a lot of folks love. You know, really get into some Eric Clapton with Lay Down Sally. You know.
I just have to give a shout out to the person on the text line. No name, just a phone number. And I just saw the word cocaine on the screen. I'm like,
because
okay,
we
yeah,
come
was,
out top of the hour with the Eric Clapton song, Cocaine, right?
But yeah. I didn't open the text. You did during the break, Craig. And while as a Cowboys fan, it does put a burr in my saddle. Very, very, very well done, sir. Or ma'am.
Yeah. It's a picture of the cover of Texas Monthly for their Bum Steer Awards. And there's Michael Irvin standing there, and they've got like a white mustache underneath as if to indicate the cocaine.
Ah, yes.
Yep. remember that very, very well. You know, we yesterday on Shirts and Skins, Chad and Trey were commemorating the life of Norm MacDonald, you know, great comedian.
Love me some Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, and Trey played that some of that the open to the ESPYs where he just unloaded on everybody.
The Charles Woodson bit was the best.
It was. But included in that rant was him saying, hey, you know, I talked to saw Jerry Jones, and he said he wanted to get the Cowboys back on track, and so they got to get back to cocaine and strippers or something like that, you know. That, and everybody laughed about that. So, I mean, no one was spared.
No.
Off of that. That's for sure.
No. I mean, I remember as a kid watching Weekend Update, and the OJ bits were just every week. It was constant, and it was just,
yeah.
Eventually they told him, hey, dude, you're going to get fired over that, and he eventually did. Didn't really care a whole lot.
Nope.
By the way, if you want to go down the Norm MacDonald rabbit hole,
yeah,
an underrated movie, and my buddy Chris Dukes watched it, said he watched it the other day, and it still holds up, Dirty Work.
Okay.
It's Norm MacDonald, Artie Lang, it's a Chevy Chase cameo in there.
Okay.
Chris Farley cameo.
Okay. Never seen that.
Yeah. It's if you enjoyed Norm MacDonald, you'll get the humor in that movie.
Understand that. Those who listen to the program regularly might have heard last week where Jeff and I both got a little bit out of sorts on some things. Mine was in visiting via the text line with the guy who's going by Pinche Gringo, and that was a tag put on him, I guess, by Trey.
Yeah, well, it had to be Trey. That wasn't you, was it, Snoop?
No way.
No.
And you know, we got all you know, angry and all that kind of stuff, and you know, and then we went on back to being ourselves. And part of the deal and the exchange we had last week was he had said Texas will beat Arkansas by 3 touchdowns. You guys, blah 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 blah. He said, this is the first chance I've had to admit I was a delusional moron for saying the Horns will beat Arkansas by 3 touchdowns. Y'all were right for laughing at my prediction. So, hey, I salute you, man. And then he said, Coach Fredenberg, by the way, said this is the best JV he's ever seen at UMHB. And that's the one that has, you know, Coach Sanders' son playing on that. Listen, he's got an outstanding Coach Pete's got an outstanding squad at UMHB. And Joe Austin knows that as well. So they definitely know that. Not an apt guy. You know, Daryl Strawberry said it was an isolated incident. By the way, that's that documentary came, the 30 for 30 was on last night. I didn't see it, but I will see it because they'll show it several times. The Once Upon a Time in Queens about the 86 Mets.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be. So anyway, so there it is. Right now, it's time for another edition of The Notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
Let's talk about the Texas defense.
Yeah,
Craig. Not a great day for that defense. It's the most rushing yards that Pete Kwiatkowski defense has given up in his time as a defensive coordinator. Also, the most points that Pete Kwiatkowski defense has given up in his time as a defensive coordinator. And you'd think, man, and I mentioned this on Longhorn Blitz, which, by the way, you heard last night here on the Horn at 7 o'clock. You can also get it right now anywhere you get your podcasts by searching Horns 24/7. Click that follow button to get every episode of The Blitz when it drops on Tuesday evenings. Now, new time is dropping. And we already got some feedback on the text line, Craig. Specs text line 337-3776. People noticed Rod was pretty fired up on the Blitz this week. And Rod was pretty fired up if you've had a chance to tune into RBKD at any point this week, which you can hear today from 3 to 7. So Rod's been pretty fired up. And I think a lot of it just stems to just, quite frankly, just how unprepared Texas looked up. Again, we talk about polar opposite performance from the Louisiana game to the Arkansas game. But Pete Kwiatkowski's defense giving up as many rushing yards as they did, giving up as many points as they did, just quite frankly getting pushed around the field as badly as they were, worn down or not, the end of that game was really, really bad and not indicative of the style of defense that he has. His defenses have shown they can play or that he wants to play. And I even said it on the Blitz. I said, man, what is it about defensive coordinators that get here and you always they always have one of these games at some point early in the season? Well, I started thinking, Craig, you know, there's been some really good defensive coordinators that have had one of these clunkers, but then they can get it turned around in that first year.
Sure.
We always talk about the improvement, you know, from 1 year to the next that first-year defensive coordinators make, but we forget that it's not necessarily a slow burn to get there, but it takes you some time to figure it out and get there. Now,
how far back you want to go with this?
Well, I'm going back to...
You want to go back to Leon Fuller?
No, we're not going that far back.
Okay.
But I started looking at really kind of late Mac Brown era, and I started with Will Muschamp, and Will Muschamp is really the exception to the rule, because people forget, before this last decade where you had some years that were just pretty forgettable, to say the least, defensively... And the 2007 defense was unfortunately carrying the banner of worst defense since blah, 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 97 or whatever right, the last terrible Texas defense was. And Will Muschamp came in, Craig, and there really was no hiccup. I mean, there was the Oklahoma game where they did give up a lot of yards, they gave up some points, but they won the game. And even Will Muschamp said after the game, I remember him saying, look, he wasn't prepared for the environment that that game was and just how different it is. And we always talk about it with Texas, though. You just the swings of momentum, the emotional roller coaster that both sidelines ride during that game. It's unlike any game you play on your schedule, and you can't replicate that. And keep in mind, that was coming from a guy who played in the Florida-Georgia game just to show you how different Texas OU is. But Will Muschamp really avoided just that one, like, good Lord, that was terrible type game in his first year as defensive coordinator.
And by the way, that Oklahoma game, Oklahoma was the number one team in the country.
Right. and even the Texas Tech game, they look at what they did against that offense compared to what everybody else they faced except Oklahoma did to that Graham Harrell, Michael Crabtree offense. So they didn't have that one game that was just forgettable and they were terrible. And even the 09 defense was better than the 08 defense statistically. So Will Muschamp's the exception to the rule. But we'll look at four coordinators, Chris. Manny Diaz in 2011.
Yeah.
Vance Bedford in 2014.
Okay.
And Todd Orlando in 2017.
Okay.
Start with Manny Diaz. So it was the week after Texas plays Oklahoma. They come back home to play Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State ran for 202 yards that day, 7.5 per carry as a team. They beat Texas in late October that year. Manny Diaz is from that game the rest of the year. Manny Diaz's defense only gave up 520 rushing yards the rest of the season, 2.2 yards allowed per carry. That was over the final seven games. They finished sixth in the country in run defense, averaged 7.38 tackles for a loss per game. That was 16th in the country. Remember, that was a high-risk, high-reward defense. It is a high-risk, high-reward defense. But they had really good veterans at key positions. Keyston Randall at the point of attack, Emmanuel Acho and Keenan Robinson, a linebacker, Blake Gideon at safety, a young Quandre Diggs was a part of that defense. So you had some veteran guys, a lot of guys that ended up playing in the National Football League on that defense. Let's go to 2014 with Manny Diaz. Obviously got fired in 2013. Greg Robinson finished out the year, but Charlie Strong gets the job. Vance Bedford is the defensive coordinator. Vance Bedford was the defensive coordinator, but we know Charlie had a really big hand in what Texas was doing defensively. So the fifth game of the 2014 season, Craig, Texas has a 28-7 loss to Baylor. And I remember Art Briles telling Charlie Strong after the game and saying after the game, nobody had ever defended their passing game like Texas did that day. Bryce Petty went 7 for 22, throwing the football, only 111 yards. But Baylor ran the ball 60 times, 4.6 a carry, and got out of there with a win based on their ground game. And so that was kind of the three-touchdown loss. They ran for a lot of yards that day, but the 2014 defense rallied, finished 31st nationally in scoring defense, 25th nationally in total defense, and 19th in the country in red zone defense. They were also number 22 nationally in third down defense. So, Craig, basically any important statistical category you want to measure, that defense was a top 30 to 25 defense at the end of the year. That was a really, really good defense. Malcolm Brown was an All-American that year. Jordan Hicks was an All-American. You had two guys in the secondary with Quandre Diggs and Mikel Thompson, who were NFL draft picks, so a lot of talent on that defense. They got it fixed after Baylor just basically ran the ball up and down their basically up and down the field on them. Let's go to 2017. And we remember the Maryland game to open the season under Todd Orlando, to open the Tom Herman era. And really, it was up and down through the first six games. But what happened in game seven? Texas is playing Oklahoma State at home, a high-powered, I think they were averaging over 50 a game coming into that game. And what did Todd Orlando do that day? Go back to the Iowa State game earlier in the year, where that was really the first time in this league that we saw somebody using that three-man front with a dime defense as your base defense. John Haycock put it in for that game. And I remember asking Iowa State players, Craig, the following year, Big 12 Media Days, Like, how did you guys come up with that defense? And they said basically it was a sub package for the Texas game, and they just decided, man, it's working so good, we'll just stay in this, and it worked so good that game. John Haycock just decided, why not just make this our base defense? It's working pretty dang good, and everybody in the country now is trying to replicate it to deal with space and pace offenses. So Todd Orlando later admitted, and Tom Herman admitted too, they basically took that inverted Tampa 2 defense, that three high safety look, basically stole that formula, or it's not stealing. Some people call it stealing. I love what Chris Del Conte calls it, Greg. Chris Del Conte calls it R&D. Rip off and duplicate.
Okay. All right.
So it sounds a little bit better. You can class it up a little bit.
A little more noble.
But Todd Orlando, that's when he formed the Lightning package. You got Breckenhager down as one of his defensive linemen. You put Malik Jefferson and Gary Johnson on the field together at linebacker. We started seeing a lot more Brandon Jones playing. Deshaun Elliott took off and had his All-America year. And the Lightning package basically became their base defense when they faced Missouri in the bowl game, even with all those guys out, with Malik Jefferson hurt, Holton Hill suspended, Deshaun Elliott got ready for the draft. You still had Puna Ford in the middle. But you had a lot of really good pieces on that defense that shut down a Missouri offense that had averaged, I think, 54 points a game their last three or four games of the year. When the dust settled, that 2017 defense, Craig, ranked third in the country in third down defense, eighth in the country against the run, the top 30 defense in scoring defense. You were 22nd in turnover margin, including 7 defensive touchdowns, which ended up leading the country that year in 2017. But again, that was with a slow start. And even go back to last season, let's look at Chris Ash's defense. Now, we obviously remember the opener against UTEP where, I mean, with all due respect to UTEP, they might be the worst FBS program in the country, and we talked about that. But the following week, Texas goes out to Lubbock. And it was bad. They gave up 6 yards of play. Tech had 447 in total offense, scored over 50 points, and dominated in the second half offensively. They dominated that Texas defense. They took advantage of some really bad matchups. Chris Ash was slow to make adjustments. And even the following week against TCU, we talk about it, the difficulty Texas had defending the quarterback run. That was one of my concerns against Arkansas. This personnel, that personnel Pete Kwiatkowski has, hadn't been really good defending the quarterback run. And we saw some of the big plays KJ Jefferson was able to make that Max Duggan made last year in that TCU game. But it started to turn a little bit during the Oklahoma game, Craig. They turned the ball over 3 times. Remember, Spencer Rattler got benched during that game. They held Oklahoma to 4.8 yards per play. I know that might not sound like a lot, but when you start looking at the yards per play Texas allowed, the only game where they were better in terms of yards per play allowed was the UTEP game, 3.2 per play. So in terms of yards per play, they did as good a job against Oklahoma as anybody did all year, as good as anybody's done against a Lincoln Riley offense. That's really when it started to turn, Craig. And when you look at the schedule, that Oklahoma game was game 4 on the schedule. When they lose to Oklahoma, and we had the Eyes of Texas deal and all the stuff going around that game, but they come back home and they played Baylor. And what do we talk about coming out of the Baylor game? Man, Juwan Mitchell finally looked settled in.
Yep.
DeMarvian Overshown finally looked settled in, and the defense played much better. Now, there were some games where you give up 530 yards to Oklahoma State. They needed 91 plays to get those 530 yards, and the 4 times you turned them over helped you win that game on Halloween in Stillwater in overtime. You came back, you allowed 4.7 yards per play against West Virginia and were really good in the red zone that day. Iowa State, the bulk of their yardage came in the second half, but a game where you gave up 23 points, that should have been enough for you to go win that game as explosive as your offense was. And then, you know, the K-State and the Colorado games weren't great defensively, but when the dust settled, Craig, Texas ended up ranked 35th in the country in SP Plus defense, defensive SP Plus, according to Bill Connelly at ESPN. And they were a top 30 defense in the country last year in terms of yards per play allowed. So how many coordinators did we just talk about? We talked about Manny Diaz,
right?
Vance Bedford,
mm-hmm.
Todd Orlando,
yeah.
Chris Ash. All 4 of them, their first year on the job, had a game or a stretch early in the season where that defense looked rough. And it, quite frankly, looked bad at times. But at some point during that season, 3, 4, 5, 6 games into it, probably by the middle of the year, they started to figure it out. So it's going to take time. History tells you it's going to take time for Pete Kwiatkowski to get things turned around. But as bad as it was on Saturday against Arkansas, he's got 10 games to go redeem himself. And history tells you that first-year Texas coordinators typically do a really good job at making adjustments, trusting their personnel, and getting it turned around and fielding a defense that's a top 30 type defense in the country. The challenge is, Craig, and we talked about this yesterday, the personnel on defense. How good are your edge guys? Do you have a couple of guys that can be frontline type guys? You know, how good, ideally, at the end of the day, are your corners? Because, again, the only time they've been tested downfield was in a high leverage situation, and they gave up a 45-yard completion on a double move. That's the kind of stuff that can't happen. You've got to have your senior corners have got to be impact players for you. You've got to find a couple of guys on the edge that you trust to complement your linebackers, complement your interior defensive line. And honestly, I know he missed some tackles. I know they both missed some tackles, but I really like B.J. Foster and Jaron Thompson as a safety duo. I thought about both those guys in terms of just a willingness to throw their bodies around and hit somebody on Saturday. Those were two of the guys. And that's where you kind of got to look through the muck to see some individual things that you liked.
Right.
Again, I know they missed some tackles. They weren't perfect, but just the physicality that both those guys played with, I liked what they showed at safety. So definitely got some time to turn it around defensively. And recent history shows the Pete Kwiatkowski can definitely do it.
All right, there it is, our Longhorn Notebook for this hour. We'll be back to wrap up today's edition of Light the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Bucky and Aaron.
I heard the broadcast where you said she was like a pack mule.
Oh. Yeah, that's
not. And I'm like.
And he meant
like,
it as a compliment, Mark. He meant it as a compliment.
Just because you put a wig on a pig don't mean it's a date.
God. I'm just saying. She's stout. She can carry a lot of things. I don't have to. When she picks up some stuff, what I mean? I can't say that, though, right?
Quit digging.
I mean.
Mornings from 6 till 10.
Okay, so I saw on the weather last night that September may wind up being hotter than August, especially the last 10 days of the month. And the tropical systems have cleared out. It's going to be hot this weekend. And if you're having trouble getting your house cooler, it could be the problem with your roof, and it could be you just don't have good enough circulation. Well, John Hardy and my friends at Divided Sky Roofing Exteriors want to help lower your power bill and prolong the life of your roof. Here's how you do. You call and ask them about what they have, the Attic Breeze solar-powered fans. Now, what this will do is it'll lower your attic temperature, and it's going to help keep your entire house cooler, and it'll save you money on your electric bill, especially if your AC unit is up in the attic. What it'll do is it'll lower the temperature of your roof, and, of course, a cooler roof will keep the shingles from cracking and lifting, and it will, in essence, extend the life of your roof as well. This comes with a lifetime warranty on the motor. There's a 26% federal rebate offered when you get an Attic Breeze solar-powered fan installed. And so if you want more information about it, call John Hardy and the great people there at Divided Sky Roofing and Exteriors. It's 512-995-ROOF, 512-995-ROOF, or check them out on the web at DividedSkyAustin.com, DividedSkyAustin.com. When the wind blows high, and we know it will, call our friends at Divided Sky.
Austin's own PGA Tour Superstore is home for top pros and weekend players alike. See the largest selection of clubs, shoes, apparel, and much more. While you're there, why not let PGA Tour Superstore's certified club fitters fit any club in the store for free? Or book a lesson with a PGA Superstore certified teaching pro and become the player you want to be. Mention the Horn at checkout and receive $50 off your purchase of $250 or more. Shop in-store online at PGATourSuperstore.com.
Would you drive 10 minutes for $500? That's the distance from CarMax to Henna Chevrolet. And Henna guarantees you $500 more than any CarMax offer for your vehicle. Just show Henna your written CarMax appraisal offer within 7 days, and you'll get a half a grand more guaranteed. Is your time worth $50 a minute? It is at Henna. Come get your money at HennaChevyAustin.com. Henna Chevrolet, we'll always stand by you. Find new roads. Skip the surprise add-ons and hidden fees and come see Henna Chevrolet.
I went to this one Chevy dealer and they wanted $5,000 over sticker for all these absurd additions that were packaged as add-ons. I came in because of the online price, but apparently that wasn't the actual price, so I left and went to Henna. Long story short, I love my new Silverado.
For crystal clear pricing, find new roads at HennaChevyAustin.com.
Hey, it's E. Hogan. You know my longtime go-to spot for football season? It's Doc's Backyard in Sunset Valley. Doc's has the best happy hour in town Monday through Friday, 3 to 7, $6 apps, $1 off your favorite draft beer, and $4 off pitchers. That's all afternoon, every weekday. Pro football is back, folks. You know I'll be at Doc's watching the games, keeping up with my fantasy team, rooting on the Cowboys and Texans.
Saturday and Sunday, $3 Yuengling traditional drafts, $12 Yuengling traditional pitchers, $3 Yuengling flight drafts, and $12 Yuengling flight pitchers. Only at Doc's. EatDrinkDocs.com.
It's a brand new football season, and it's time to stop putting off LASIK. This is Craig Way, and you've heard me say it before. Now is the time to stop dealing with the hassles of contacts and glasses. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK is offering LASIK starting at $495 per eye. Don't let another game go by putting off LASIK. Whether you're tailgating, in the seats, or in front of a screen, glasses and contacts are a hassle. You don't need to miss any of the action with poor vision. Take the first step today. Call or go online to schedule your free consultation. Sharp Vision can make hassle-free, clear vision your reality. For LASIK, starting at $495 per eye and guaranteed financing approval, go online or call 512-596-2020 to schedule your free consultation today. With guaranteed financing approval, you can be assured to enjoy this football season with new vision and no hassles. That's 512-596-2020. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, official LASIK provider of Austin FC.
Hey, everybody, it's Aaron Hogan for Viking Fence. Are you a construction superintendent, a contractor? Maybe you plan events? If you use temporary rental fence on the regular, I can't recommend our friends at Viking Fence enough. Viking's been here in Central Texas since 1972, always highly committed to prompt and courteous customer service. They've got flexible pricing plans that allow you to fix your costs and always hit your budget. Oh, and ask about the damage waiver rate that will eliminate untimely chargebacks. Call Viking Fence today, 837-6411, VikingFence.com. When you think temporary rental fence, think Viking.
Oh, baby, football season is back. It's Aaron Hogan, folks. You know Bud Light is my choice and should be yours, too, when it's time for an ice-cold beer. And nothing goes better with football and friends than that ice-cold Bud Light. Be sure to look for it at your convenience stores, when you're at the grocery store, and, of course, at your local watering hole. Say, hey, bartender, get me an ice-cold Bud Light. Hey, if you're staying in and just hanging out with your buds, watching games, barbecuing in the backyard, place that order of Bud Light with Drizzly. They'll bring the Bud Light straight to your door. Great way to drink responsibly. And you know there's live music in the live music capital of the world. Football and fun, folks. Do it with the ice-cold Bud Light, the world's favorite light beer.
Call ARS and Rescue Rooter.
Broken AC, leaky pipes, busted water heater, you need a game plan. Call the pros at ARS Rescue Rooter. From maintenance to major emergencies, the special teams at ARS will fix your problem fast with same-day service. Just call 777-7000. Right now, mention Under the Lights and score $75 off any service or repair. Commitment to comfort, that's ARS. Call 777-7000 or visit ARS.com. Can't be combined with other offers. License number TACLB 102680, others available.
Light the Tower with Craig Webb, Jeff Howe, and Snoop Daniel.
This is the version I'm expecting Eric Clapton to play tonight at the Irwin Center. The unplugged version of Layla. Because it could go on for a while, like the original, except not wear you out.
What will you do when you're lonely? No one waiting by your side. You've been running, hiding much too long. You know it's just your foolish plan. Layla.
Eric Clapton, the rock and roll legend, Hall of Famer, will be at the Irwin Center tonight. Pretty did a great show in Fort Worth a couple of nights ago. Hey, a couple other input on the Specs text line at 337-3776. One guy says, we don't have the O-line or D-line to play in the SEC. Guess what? You're not playing in the SEC right now. And probably not next year either.
Just focus on this offensive line and defensive line being good enough to win games in the Big 12 right now.
Not going to be in the SEC for at least a year, and maybe, from what I'm hearing, might not be until 2023.
23 is the ideal date for date and time for everyone, because 23 is the first year that ESPN can exercise the clause in the contract to gain exclusivity over football and men's basketball broadcasting rights.
CB says, Bull Reese is the last DC to be at Texas longer than three seasons. And Carl Bull Reese also, and that's why I asked you earlier how far back we're going, he had one of those games early, you know, the K-State game.
Yeah. Well, UCLA wasn't a walk
in
the park.
And UCLA, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, there were 49.
And that 98 defense was vastly improved from 97.
Yes, exactly. So there's that. Cooter said, Jeff, you can throw out all the stats you want. Bottom line is, yes, Arkansas is a better team than Louisiana, but the defense regressed in angles taken, tackling, and overall gameplay.
That was obvious.
Yeah, no argument.
I'm not arguing
no
with
argument,
you
No argument, Cooter.
No, that was obvious.
None at all about that.
A lot to work on in practice.
Yeah, and Bevo Lance Jason says it was a great visit back to the football defensive coordinator that rebounded after some struggles. Gives me hope that this coaching staff will make the proper adjustments. They might be great, but I anticipate improvement as the season goes on.
But I think this goes back to Cooter's point. This goes back to something with first-year coaches, first-year defensive coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that time is just breaking guys of bad habits. Sometimes you're just reteaching technique. There are certain things you want done that are different than the way the previous position coach or the previous coordinator wanted done. And honestly, when you look at it, there's just not a lot of time in that first year to get done everything that needs to get done. You only get 15 practices in the spring. You only get a couple of weeks of camp, of real camp to do drills and instruction, because at some point you got to go get ready to play a football game in your season opener. So it's going to be a process that for this team, you know, like bowl practices, because they didn't really get like structured bowl practices last year. Bowl practices are going to be huge for this team.
Yep.
You know, to really dive back into the system. Because honestly, Craig, most of bowl prep, what is it? It's getting your young guys ready for spring ball, getting them a head start, and going back and working on yourself. Like your veterans, especially guys that are going to be gone after the year, they don't do a ton in bowl practice, really, until you get like your on-site bowl prep done, and that then you're just polishing game plan stuff.
So. True, true.
Something to follow. It's a process, man. I know that's not what people want to hear, but the reality is it's a process. And Saturday, what happened in Fayetteville was a smack in the face to everybody, reminding everyone that, oh, yeah, maybe this is a process and there are some growing pains that are going to go through in year one.
Figure that's going to be the case. It's kind of what year one has begun.
But to my point about the defensive coordinator numbers, Craig, you can get it back. And you mentioned 98. They started 1-2, two really bad losses. That team ended up winning nine games, had a Heisman winner, won a Cotton Bowl. I'm not saying this team's going to do that, but you can get it back. You can get it back and have a year that people are really proud of to look back on in the body of work and say, yeah, Texas had a good year.
Yep. All right. Our thanks to Joe Austin joining us this morning. Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals. Tomorrow, Drew Sanders, head coach of the Vandegrift Vipers. Also, Greg Tepper, managing editor of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. For our man behind the glass, a producer, Snoop Daniel, and for my co-host, Jeff Howe, I'm Craig Way. We thank you for joining us and invite you to stay tuned. Up next, Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. We'll visit with you tomorrow, 10 o'clock, right here on Light the Tower.